ज्ञानतिमनन्दस्य ज्ञानन्दनासलकय शक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. The spiritual master has opened our darkened eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So, that knowledge is our anchor. The material energy comes in waves, and these waves of the material energy, they push us along. Sometimes the waves are in goodness, sometimes the waves are in passion, sometimes in ignorance. One needs an anchor of knowledge, to remain fixed, to remain fixed at Krishna's lotus feet. Kirtan is all-inclusive. It is kirtan that can touch anyone and reach anyone, that goes beyond age, beyond culture. It speaks to all. Children stop crying. Adults forget to worry. Somehow or other, kirtan has that potency. Kirtan means glorification. Early in the morning, the birds awaken and glorify the sun. And as soon as the sun is rising, all the birds, they start to sing like anything, you know, like very loud. It's a whole symphony there, because it's a celebration. The sun is back, and after a long, dark night, then again, the sun. So glorification is natural and is something that we must do as an expression of happiness. When something is very nice, yes, then we must say it many times. Oh, how nice, how nice. Nice sunshine, oh, so nice. Nice day, oh, yes, nice, nice. We must glorify the day because it feels good. And when something feels good, then one must express it. Cannot just remain oblivious like a stone, right? And be out there. What do you think about it? Yeah, it's really good. It's not impressive. It doesn't quite make it when there's no expression. So, therefore, kirtan is not an artificial invention. Some group of people one day sat down and did a calculation and came to this incredible conclusion, kirtan. It was an invention and a half. It caught on in a big way, and everywhere people took to the new fad. No, not quite. Not quite. It's not a fashion. It's not an artificial imposition on the mind. Kirtan is all-inclusive because kirtan is our nature. That is the point. It is everyone's nature, actually. It's in everyone to glorify. Of course, you know, I gave the example of the sun, and the sun is impressive because the sun is very powerful and heats up the entire universe. The sun has unlimited energy, apparently. And the source of that energy is Narayan. Narayan means Nara, Ayan. Ayan means who gives shelter. And Nara means man. Naraya. Who gives shelter to mankind. Yes. And not only to mankind, but rather Suridam Sarvadehinam. the well-wisher of all embodied beings. Kirtan is the process. So kirtan doesn't belong to any particular tradition. It has nothing to do with tradition. Kirtan has existed since time immemorial within all species. The jackals are glorifying the moon. I lost my voice a little bit, so I cannot imitate it tonight for you. Usually I can be quite a good jackal, but tonight I'm afraid it's not going to work. Glorification, then, is the positive. Srimad Bhagavatam, an ancient Vedic text, describes the forest of material enjoyment. It says, in this forest of material enjoyment, actually, there are many voracious animals, because jungles are like that. But one goes there for enjoyment, and a poor man goes there to get some wealth from the forest. He'll collect things from the forest and bring them back to the people of the city, and he'll make his wealth. But while he's in the forest, right, and spends nights in the forest, yes, of course, there is some anxiety of possible dangers. But nothing happened. But one thing, that companion, a constant companion, throughout his journey in the forest, is the sound of crickets. Everywhere crickets. All over the place. My God, at night you can't sleep from the crickets. I tell you, these crickets, they make so much noise. They just never stop, the crickets. The crickets represent those who are criticizing and gossiping and finding fault with others, and they'll never stop. Crickets criticize, cricket criticize, crickets. Everywhere crickets. There are crickets in the world. They occupy themselves with the opposite of glorification. That's not kirtan. That is akirtan. Anti-kirtan, right? Criticism. So interesting how it is said that one must conquer this tendency to criticize. Well,
that's not so easy, you know. I mean, you know, it starts in the morning, you know, flaming world.
Oh, gosh, hell of a day. Oh, dear, look at the news. Misery. Oh, no. Yeah, what are they doing? The negative side. So simply one has to shake off that false cricket identity. And that is the art. And that is why there's a process called yoga. Yoga is for that, basically. Because yoga, if we read the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, is particularly for controlling the mind. Controlling the mind from what? Basically, the mind has a tendency to enter into the visayi. Visayi are material objects. Yes. Samson. Olympus. Oh, well. It's not a brand. Doesn't matter. Also works. Sort of. The mind goes into the things. And as the mind goes into the things, more and more things go into the mind. Money. Money, money. Money in the bank, money in the mind. Oh yes, money, money, money. More money in the bank, more money in the mind. I've got so much money in the bank. So much money in my mind. Yeah. Got so much money. Lots of money. That's me, actually. You know, it's like, you know that I'm from quite a wealthy background. Yeah, really. And with that, you know what I mean? I mean, well,
Actually, you know, we have been quite a respectable family for many generations, I guess. Yeah, many generations, I guess. Yes, you know, mm-hmm. Actually, our lineage can be traced back quite a long way. Mm-hmm. That's why I always keep this little finger. Aristocratic. Ah, yes. Upadis. Upadis. Identification. Oh, yes. These classes are kind of intellectual. Others, you know, I think the big black-rimmed one are more... I guess they're computer goggles, you know. They're kind of like big and they can see your whole screen and everything from all angles, right? Goggles. Sort of like... in some sort of diving mask when you go into cyberspace. So, different identities. Right? Oh yes, kind of, you know, relaxed, you know, grow your beard for 3 days, you know, sort of looks like you're really not hyped up, the cool type, you know what I mean? Yeah, it doesn't get hyped up about nothing, but always got a 3-day beard. Somehow or other. Very careful, you know. How he does it, I don't know. It never gets to 4 days. Somehow or other stays at 3 days. Huh? Yes. It's an art to cut a profile. Right? What shall I wear today? Oh, yes. And, you know, like, the socks should match, but it shouldn't be too obvious, you know, that I try to make them match. No, that would look terrible. So, sort of casually matching socks. Impress. Create an image. Create, like, a deep impression on people's mind. Pretend. Try to be something you're not, but anyway, nobody knows. And in the end, you don't know yourself anymore either. That's me, right? We think. Anthropologists are saying that man is suspended between culture and nature. And that at one point it's almost impossible to separate the two. Where does nature end and culture begin? It's difficult to say. Yes. Like this. All these things are barriers. All these things are walls. When the water comes... after the long dry season, finally, rain comes. In India, there's the monsoon climate, and finally, after a long dry season, the rain comes. And the water wants to flow everywhere over the land, but it cannot because there are all these little dikes. Oh, little dikes. Every field has some dikes, and now the water cannot flow freely. We also have made so many little dikes everywhere in our consciousness. The dikes in our consciousness that actually block the free flow of energy. The dikes of I am, the dikes of I have, the dikes of I can, the dikes of I cannot, the dikes of I am not, the dikes of fear, the dikes of pride, the dikes of strength, the dikes... of appetite, I can eat more than anybody. Yes, I, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most? Zing. Upadi, designation, identification, a role, the roles we play. And actors on a stage are moving around in the world, and we cut a profile. Yeah. He cuts a cool profile. Okay, that's cool. Is he cool also? Well, you know, actually, not really. He's as boring as can be. But he cuts a cool profile. Right. Behind the mask, he lives. The mask looks so cool, I tell you. Behind it, square. Hiding it, ashamed to be square, ashamed to be ordinary. Oh my God, I'm an ordinary person who likes ordinary things. I'm not exotic at all. Nobody will like me. No, my gosh, I just like regular things. I'm boring. Huh? You see, all kinds of fears. Huh? Then, you know, in the 60s, we had Twiggy. And maybe it was 70s, okay, but I think it was 60s, if I remember well. Twiggy. And Twiggy was this girl. She had ridiculous measurements. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. She was slim, you know what I mean? Like it's impossible to be like Twiggy. Right? But Twiggy became the model, you know? And Twiggy became extremely famous, right? And every girl had to try and be like Twiggy, even the ones that were not built like Twiggy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, some people have thin bones and some have a little thicker, right? And, yeah, what to do, you know? It became a whole thing, fasting and so on, trying pills, anything to become like Twiggy. Yes, because Twiggy was a model not only of beauty, oh no, she was a model of sexuality. Twiggy was all about super sex. Super sex became the standard. Somewhere before the 60s, it was just about sex. But then they invented super sex. And super sex became what you had to come up to and had to live up to. And the measurements were very important. The size, the potential. And if not, you were a loser. Oh my God, if you don't have it, oh no, now what? And the whole artificial image was created on so many frustrations and traumas built in into artificial identities that grew, that are like dams and dikes that block our consciousness to flow openly. And the result is that relationships cannot function. Because we are afraid to be honest, to be open, to be free, to be ourselves. Dramatic performances to impress. And the crickets criticize. In this way, we exclude ourselves, actually, from our natural place. within mankind. Actually, we're not alone. We are sharing. We're sharing so many things. But these designations have created not just walls in our consciousness, but walls between people. And thus we are separated in so many ways. And communities are separated. And communities exclude. So kirtan goes back to our real self. It forgets all that conditioning, the innocence that we lost since we were a child. When we were simple, when we were straight, when we were what we were. When we were children, we were just as we were. You know, you cry when you feel like it, you do anything when you just feel like it. Now we think twice or thrice. The kirtan goes back to that original root. I came across a group of people, and they were teachers in a particular technique called the primordial scream. And they were saying that everyone has a particular sound, its own individual sound. And if you find that sound, it will set you free. That's what they said. I said, like, well, that's very interesting, because we have kirtan, which is about sound. I said, but not everyone makes a different sound. Everyone makes the same sound, but in his own way, in his own individual way. And that's just how it is. Not everyone separate, not everyone on his own. Not everyone, I am a rock, I am an island type of approach, but everyone being open. Oceans of consciousness that just merge, share openly, without fear, without malice, without envy. It's like our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, tells that story. He said, in Calcutta, one man got the news that his friend, Mr. Banerjee, he is a high court judge. Ah, come on, not Banerjee. No way, forget it, not Banerjee. Ah, you know, he could never be. No, I saw it. I saw him in the court sitting on the bench. Maybe he was sitting there, but I don't think he's getting paid. Somehow or other. To push ourselves up, we have to bring others down. If we lack the quality ourselves, qualities of greatness, then the technique is bring others down, and then, you know, in the land of the blind, one eye is king. So make everybody blind. Yeah? Simple. If you have only one eye, all you have to do is make the other blind and you'll be king. See the logic? Yes. I don't think they're getting paid. They're actually not qualified. I mean, really, you know what I mean? It's nice that they're trying, but they're not quite there, if you know what I mean. Whereas I, you know, of course, you know, I mean, really. I mean, you know, where there's quality, what can you say? Envy. So envy is an issue. I'll tell you a little envious story, just to sort of spice up the talk a little bit. Once upon a time, there was a man roaming around, and he found a bottle. And in the bottle, there was a spirit. And the spirit said, let me out. So he looked and said, The spirit said, if you let me out, I will give you anything you desire. It's okay. Promise. Yes, Master. I will give you anything you desire, but your neighbor gets double. he can have. I don't care. Yeah, give me anything. Okay, I want a palace, 8 stories high, you know, 200 meters wide, and so on, square. There it was. And next door, you know, there was this monster of a palace. 400 meters wide, the thing was, no? With 16 stories. And the problem was, no, serious, in the afternoon, it would block the sun, the thing. You know? Yeah, really, it blocks the sun every afternoon. It's just too much, you know. It's like, God, this neighbor. Oh, it went on and on and on, you know, and it's like it started to eat his heart, and then he thought about it. It's like, you know, okay, asked the spirit for, you know, some conveyance, some vehicles, and the neighbors there, like, oh, bigger, better, and more. Oh, it was too much. He was thinking, getting depressed. Then one day, he called for the spirit, and he said, I want that you take one of my eyes. I told you it was an envious story. but envy, is part of what limits us, and this is the difficulty. So Prabhupada speaks about a family, and they love their children, and the children come, and you know, and one of the parents said, "Oh, my little darling, come, yes, you sit here, yes." And then comes that horrible child into the neighbors, you know. "Go away, you little monster. Go away." So why make these dams and dikes? Why make these divisions? It is there where we are, where maybe it's fear. Maybe. It's fear of so many things. Fear of losing our superiority. Fear of what people can do to us. But no. Another story. You know this? There was a dog. He met another dog. And this dog was totally ecstatic. He was smiling. He was like almost jumping and dancing. He was such a happy dog. The other dog said, "What happened to you?" He said, "I just went into the palace of 1,000 opportunity. I had the most amazing experience of my life." He said, like, you know, "When I went in there, I saw thousands of dogs. And they were all so happy to see me. It was just absolutely an amazing experience." Well, the other dog said, "Well, I wouldn't mind going there to that palace of opportunities." So he went to the palace of opportunities, but as he was going, he got a little bit worried. And as dogs get worried, they sort of, the tail goes a bit between the legs, and the lips, they get a little bit lifted. And he looked in that palace of 1,000 opportunities, and he saw 1,000 dogs. Showing their teeth, tail between the legs. He was like, "Oh my God, I gotta get out of here." So, this old story is telling us that we're limiting our own relationships by our fears, by the feelings that we project upon these relationships. And if we actually can manage to become open and positive in all directions, then amazing things can start to happen. It is said about the six Goswamis who were great and pure devotees living in Vrindavan, the place of Krishna. They had no interest in anything material. They slept somewhere under a tree, not even the same tree, every night. They moved around, different tree. They lived very simple because their life was internal. It wasn't external. They were living right in an ocean of transcendental love. Krishna kirtana gana nartana paru premamritam bo nidhi dira dira priyajana priyakaro nirmatsra pujito vande rupa sanatana raguyago shi jiva gopala go. These six Goswamis, they were always engaged in kirtan, in glorification, and they lived in an ocean of love, and as a result, dira adira priyajano priyakaro, they were dear. They were dear. Dira is not dear. Priya is dear. You know, but they were dear to everyone. To the gentle and to the ruffians, so it is translated. They were dear to all. They somehow or other managed to... They got on with everyone. That is the nature of kirtan. in New York, on Union Square, right, which is downtown New York, Manhattan, on Union Square, there was a kirtan party. And that kirtan party is there, you know, and people like that kirtan party. So one day, you know, one day on the regular spot where they sit every day, there was someone with a electric guitar and so on playing there in the morning as they arrived. So, and then the guy said, yeah, he showed he had a paper from the city council that he could make music there on that spot. Then someone from the local neighborhood went there and he said, look, you my friend, you know, I have 10 brothers, you know what I mean? I have 10 brothers. And you know, it's like, we don't want you to sing here, you know what I mean? Because it's their spot. It's the Hare Krishna spot, right? We don't want you to sing here, you know what I mean? And my 10 brothers don't like it, you know what I mean? But I have a permit from the city council, but you don't have a permit from me. Dira, dira, priya, jana, priya, karo. Dear to the gentle, dear to the ruffians. That's the result of kirtan. Everyone appreciates. These guys are doing something good. But the crickets, they will never appreciate.
crickets, no matter what you do, you know, it's never good enough. These people, they look strange, they dress strange, they sing strange, everything is strange. You know what I mean? Eat strange food, it smells strange. I'm not even sure if they're from this planet, actually. You know what I mean? So strange.
Yes, what to do? But the truth of the matter is that through kirtan, we come to this point where we can be all-inclusive, where we can include everyone openly and have real relationships. That's why we take shelter of kirtan. Maybe we in this room are not there. Maybe we have some awareness of it, too, some more, some less, that kirtan has this potency. The six Goswamis, they were fully realized. And as a result, they were in that ocean of transcendental love, premamritam munidi. And then the result is, if one is absorbed in such an ocean, one becomes sparsamani, one becomes a touchstone. And whatever you touch, sparsa means touch, mani is jewel. So a touchstone, whatever you touch, it changes, also becomes positive. So yeah, that's why kirtan is so wonderful. Any questions? Otherwise, maybe we should have a little more kirtan.
Maharaj, you mentioned we should all try and express this positive kind of energy and glorification together, as opposed to just having our own island. But I think to do this positive sound vibration, you need a conductor. And the reason there are so many millions of islands out there in the world is because people don't really trust anyone to be that conductor. Have faith in any kind of leadership, really. And there's great mistrust in always thinking, how can this person possibly have my best interest at heart? So what can you do then? And how do you get rid of that mistrust? And how do you find proper leaders?
Well, the kirtan itself will have to do it. We'll have to make the bridge first. Right? So before we establish ourselves as leaders, right? Who is a leader anyway? Leaders will become leaders by being self-effulgent. Any appointed leader will not continue to impress. You know, an appointed leader in the beginning, you may see him and say, wow, this person is an ocean of qualities. Then you walk around and you realize it's no bigger than a pond. And then you lose interest. So it must be an effulgent leader, you know, who by his own, by his qualities is a leader. That's all the only type of leadership that works. No, just have kirtan. And then eventually somebody will emerge. You know, everyone gets influenced by that kirtan, but some of them will become touched more and will start to make bigger changes in their life. They'll become the leader. Like the six Goswamis were leaders. Not artificial leaders, but real leaders. Everyone would naturally come to them and ask questions about what to do, because people could see they're nirmatsaranam, they're not envious.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you spoke about how there's this whole pretense to try and be something you are not in order to please or impress other people. Is there such a thing as trying to be something you are not, but that thing is actually good, in order to try and impress?
So I spoke about pretending and trying to be something we are not. And generally, pretending in Sanskrit is referred to as kutinati. And kutinati means a business mentality. So it says someone who's pretending has a business mentality, is always trying to, out of every situation, you know, see what advantage can I get out of this situation for me. Is there, however, some sort of pretending which can help us? Sometimes they say, if you're not humble, just act humble, right? And you will become humble. So is that true? And is that a sort of positive pretense? Yeah, to an extent, you know. If we imitate good qualities, right, honesty and humility and all these kind of qualities, that is better than nothing. But ultimately, that will only help a little bit. By such pretense, you can never get those qualities. You can act as if you're humble, but you'll never become humble that way. Real humility actually comes from glorification. Glorification of Krishna and his devotees. Then humility will develop. It takes that also, you know. I mean, in chanting, if you think, I am the master, then you cannot maintain it. You know, then it becomes a burden. Only if you think, this is my shelter. If you think, like, I am not very great, and therefore I need shelter, and when you're always looking for shelter, then you can chant all the time. So ultimately, pretense, even of a good thing, is not good enough. Question? No. Comment? No. Okay. Okay, then I want to sing 5 more minutes, since it was all about kirtan. With your permission. Now, look at the watch. But these 5 minutes really are going to be the last time. Hey. Although my voice is a little raspy, because I went to the Spiritual Heritage Festival in Soweto. Ow. Every bone hurts. I was dancing with the locals. Ow. and I'm getting old, you know what I mean? And to dance with like 20-year-old Africans. Ow.
Just leave it.
Yeah.
Really, just leave it.
What's that?
Spider.
Wow.
Just leave it.
That's an impressive spider. Oh, never seen like this big in Africa.
He's harmless.
Yeah, it's a rain spider.
What do they do?
They catch flies.
Are they?
It's kind of scary.
Are they innocent or are they?
Yeah, they're harmless.
It's karma-free pest control.
Even the spider's like, yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah, he's here for the kirtan.